You're listening to local and regional news on KMUN. I'm Ava Berardi.
And I'm Katie Frankowitz. Last month, the incumbent in the race for Oregon's House District 32, representing Oregon's North Coast, condemned statements that one of his challengers had included in the voter's pamphlet. State Representative Cyrus Javity said Christian Honnell's statements were a, quote, dishonest attempt to mislead voters with personal attacks, and knowingly distorted claims about Javity's record. In the voter's pamphlet, Honnell, a Republican, said Javity allowed sexual content in public schools, blamed constituents for wanting a say on a transportation tax, and boosted Planned Parenthood funding, voting to, quote, let abortion clinics leave babies born alive to die. Javity has pushed back, saying he never made any such statements about the transportation tax, that he voted to prevent books from being removed from schools based on characters or authors' identities, and that his vote on Planned Parenthood restored cuts for basic healthcare services. In a recent newsletter, Javity, formerly a Republican and now a Democrat, described his changing views on abortion and abortion access. At a meet-and-greet last week, Honnell came prepared with responses. As evidence of Javity's dismissal regarding the transportation tax, Honnell pointed to a video he had posted to his Facebook page back in March. In the video, Javity appears to be speaking from the House floor.
We talked about how people were out in the rain signing this referendum, and I say bless their hearts for exercising their democratic rights. But you know who else was out in the rain all night long were our road crews, the same people who we said, by virtue of referring this to the ballot, by virtue of us saying that 6 cents per gallon is not worth it, we said to them, you're not worth it.
In the clipped video he posted to Facebook, Honnell followed this by saying,
I watched him condescend to us, daring to want to say whether or not we have to pay his tax or not. You need a representative who will listen to your vote and protect your wallet, not someone who gaslights you for his mistakes. I am ready to lead and protect our Pacific Wonderland, and I would be honored to have your vote.
When it comes to the claim about inappropriate material, Honnell pointed to an instance where another state representative read a sexually explicit scene from a book on the House floor and was reprimanded for violating House decorum. The bill Javity voted for passed in June 2025 and prevents teachers, schools, and school districts from removing books solely because they contain content on race, sex, religion, or other protected classes under Oregon law. Honnell's meet and greet last week included two other candidates running for public office. Mitra Vazin, who's running for Clatsop County Commissioner, District 3, and State Senator David Brock-Smith, who is running for U.S. Senator. Around 10 people attended, including Sean Davis, who plans to run for mayor of Astoria in November. He told The Astorian later that he was not convinced by Honnell's answers, saying he felt that Honnell exaggerated Javity's true stances. This story comes to us through a news partnership with The Astorian, online at dailyastorian.com.
The Seaside City Council is looking for public input as it considers transferring ownership of a building to a nonprofit that supports early childhood education and provides family services for low-income households. The Columbia Pacific Head Start program is housed in a building on 2nd Avenue. The city owns the building but does not have a hand in operating the federally supported programs. City councilors say the goal is to continue to support Head Start services at the site, and the city would not plan to sell at full market value. Currently, the city receives $150 a month from Head Start for the lease of the facility. If the building's ownership is transferred, the city would no longer be responsible for the major repairs and improvements or regular maintenance and management of the facility. And Head Start would be able to make decisions about the building without city approval. The City Council plans to provide feedback and direction to staff at a future meeting. If councilors opt to move forward on a transfer, staff would return with more detailed terms for consideration. More information is available at the city's website.
You're listening to local and regional news on KMUN.
The Oregon Court of Appeals judge who sided with PacifiCorp in a case brought by thousands of rural Oregonians caught in the 2020 Labor Day wildfires previously represented the utility giant for years. According to an investigation by Oregon Journalism Project, when Judge Anna Joyce was a private attorney, she represented PacifiCorp for much of the 6 years before her appointment to the bench in 2022. In early April, Joyce led a three-judge panel that threw out a landmark verdict holding PacifiCorp responsible for wildfires that ripped through the utility's service area in 2020. If this new ruling stands, PacifiCorp could avoid paying billions of dollars to wildfire victims. Legal experts Oregon Journalism Project interviewed say Joyce's role raises questions of judicial ethics. Some say Joyce should have disclosed her prior connection to PacifiCorp and stepped off the case. Joyce declined to comment, as did officials at the Oregon Judicial Department. PacifiCorp also declined to comment on Joyce's role, but noted it has paid out $2.2 billion in wildfire settlements to thousands of people who did not join the class action. Oregon's Judicial Fitness Commission reviews complaints against judges and refers the most serious violation to the Oregon Supreme Court for possible disciplinary action. Joyce also serves on that commission. This story comes to us through a news partnership with Oregon Journalism Project and was reported by Jeff Manning. Read more at OregonJournalismProject.org. An old aluminum smelter has sat abandoned on the Columbia River's bank for 2 decades. Now, energy developers could help fast-track part of the cleanup. NWPB's senior environmental correspondent Courtney Flatt explains.
Energy developers plan to use part of the Goldendale aluminum smelter for a massive project that could store enough energy to power a city the size of Seattle. But first, they have to get rid of toxic soil and groundwater. Developers will help pay for that at the old site. They'll also provide extra staff and equipment. Washington regulators say that will speed up the work. Emily Tasaka is a spokesperson for the Department of Ecology.
This cleanup needs to happen regardless of what development happens on the site because there are contaminants left over.
Contaminants like arsenic, lead, and fluoride. The department has drafted a cleanup plan. Public comment is open through June 16th. I'm Courtney Flatt.
Local and regional news is brought to you by our news partners and by the KMUN News Team. For more local and regional news, go to kmun.org/news. Up next is American Democracy Minute. You're listening to KMUN.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The U.S. Supreme Court's seismic April 29th decision that the Equal Protection Clause prohibits using race in redistricting decisions didn't just affect African American communities in the South. It also eroded the chance for Hispanic, Native, Asian, and other majority-minority communities to elect the candidate of their choice, too. In 2025, the Mandan, Hidatsa, and Arikara nations, also known as the MHA Nation, negotiated with the state of North Dakota rather than litigating under the 1965 Voting Rights Act, Section 2, to protect Native voting power from being diluted, an ongoing issue. After an agreement, state GOP officials later shamefully reversed positions in 2022 using the same Equal Protection Clause argument. In Washington state, federal courts struck down state legislative maps in 2024, which diluted Hispanic voting power and mandated a map allowing Hispanics in Franklin County a chance to elect a House candidate of their choice. In 2021, after the Texas legislature diluted the voting power of Fort Bend County's Asian Americans, the highest concentration in Texas, voters used Section 2 to try and secure proper representation. The High Court's decision puts minority communities of all persuasions at risk of losing their voices in local, state, and federal elections. We've linked to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.